Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
Welcome.
Don't go too far. Right.
I was having way too much fun. I'm Ann Hillman, the worship associate this morning.
And I'm Beth Banks, the senior minister. Right with you.
We come to this sanctuary to celebrate the beauty of the earth and to be in community. This congregation comforts us when we know loss and celebrates our best dreams. We bring our differences and together we offer a fuller truth than any one point of view. The holy is experienced here in many ways and is given many names. People of all sexual orientations and gender identities are celebrated. We welcome diverse political opinions, races, classes, and physical abilities. We have much to learn from each other, whether because of the touch of a friend, the words and music, or a moment of silence. May you feel more alive. We light this chalice, the symbol of our faith, with these words from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Whatever your life's work is, do it well. A person should do their job so well that the living, the dead, and the unborn could do it no better. May this time we share be a source of inspiration as we do our work well.
A fact about me that you may not know is that for a while there, before I got the ministry bug, I was going to be a stand-up comedian. Yeah, I looked into it. I started looking into open mics and writing my sets, and it didn't work out. So luckily for us, or let's say luckily, I'm here now. And I still love comedy. I think that laughter is a spiritual practice, and it's one of the things we're going to talk about today. So this is a repeat after me meditation. Let's try that again. This is a repeat after me meditation.
This is a repeat after me meditation.
Ha.
Ha.
Ha ha.
Ha
ha ha.
Ha ha.
Tee.
Tee.
Tee hee.
Tee hee.
Tee hee hee hee.
Tee.
Ho.
Ho.
Ho ho.
Ho
ho ho.
Ho ho ho.
Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
Ha ha
ha! Ho ho ho!
Ho ho ho!
Tee hee hee!
Tee hee hee!
Ha ha ha!
Ha ha ha!
Ho ho ho!
Ho ho ho!
Tee hee hee!
Tee hee hee!
Tee hee
hee!
Tee hee hee!
Tee hee hee!
Tee hee hee!
Tee hee hee!
Tee hee hee!
Tee hee hee!
Ha ha ha! 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 Ho ho ho! Ho ho ho!
Ho ho ho!
Ho ho ho!
Ho ho ho! Ho ho ho! Ho ho ho! Ho ho ho! Ho ho ho! Ho ho ho! Ho ho ho! Ho ho ho! Ho ho ho! Ho ho ho! Ho ho ho!
Ha 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 If you're feeling it, stand on up, turn to a neighbor, make a funny face, and we're just going to laugh together. If you can hear me, clap once. Oh, beautiful. Excellent. Well, what a wonderful time we shared together, this meditation of laughter, of silliness, of kindness. What a wonderful way to start our day today. So, remember, laughter can be cleansing, can be cathartic, can be communal. And next time you are able to share a joke with one another, I hope you will be able to do it gladly and boldly. So, we're going to invite our young folks to go to class, to Sunday school at the Bridge House, and we're going to lead them out with our song, our children's blessing. Learning. May your lips bring truth into the world.
Here's my story. At a meeting, the worship associates are divvying up assignments, and one of them is about humor. This is my weak spot. The only time I make people laugh is by accident. And I try to tell them, I say, well, humor and me, and I must be making a face or rolling my eyes because everybody laughs. Wow. What a heady feeling to be the focus of a group's friendly mirth. I get the humor assignment, I think. If I can't make humor, at least I can find examples of it. I start doggedly searching for it, and it is all around me. My husband, Ted, entertains the kids by flossing his brain. I think at least this assignment will help me appreciate the people in my life. At dinner, our 18-year-old Eleanor rants about society's problems when Viz tongue slips and rhyming garbled nonsense comes out. V pauses and with a perplexed look slowly repeats the gibberish. We all laugh and feel bonded. At choir practice, Allison quips contrast between the adult world and what it's like living with four small children. When someone asks about the upcoming Davis Chorale concert, she exaggeratedly tells them to get tickets before they sell out, and I guffaw, because we've had some dismally small audiences. Eleanor is in a play, and a cast member has dropped out close to performance time. V helps the director feel better using sarcastic humor. They play the song Good for You while thinking of the traitor. The lyrics go, so you found a place where the grass is greener and jumped the fence. Hope you're proud of your big decision. I search the past for humor and remember a Halloween pumpkin carved with a huge roaring mouth, scrunched up eyes, and an orange toupee. Its stick arms hold signs reading, fake news. I look and laugh and look and laugh again. It feels so good to reduce something so scary to a squashable size. I remember this scenario of Grace, and you can show that film in just a second. I remember this scenario of Grace using silliness to calm herself down. She's wailing in her room. I offer comfort through the door, but she will have none of it. So I tell her I will be in my room folding laundry if she needs me. A few minutes later, she bounces in carrying an armful of stuffed animals, dumps it on the bed, and leaves. She repeats this twice, then says, "Come on, Mommy," and throws herself on the pile. I jump on with her and we laugh. You can show it now. Here it comes. She says, "My animals are my friends, so they make me happy." Playfulness and comedy are mood changers. Think of the comedians in your life who lighten and liven things up and give thanks.
"Is the best medicine" is a very old phrase. It appears in the Jewish scriptures in the book of Proverbs, probably written around the year 700 before the Common Era. Scholars agree that Proverbs is a collection at the time of the social wisdom that was found in Greece and Egypt and in throughout the Middle East. That ancient wisdom tells us a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I have personally seen this wisdom to be true. Personally, I use a cheerful heart or laughter, humor, a lot. Humor opens possibility in our lives. It breaks the ice. It connects us to each other. It puts us at ease. It helps us grieve, and it helps us heal. I have also learned that humor is not necessarily a universal language. A good friend of mine in college had a very serious boyfriend, and I mean that in both senses. Their relationship was ultimately marriage-bound, and this young man took himself very seriously. He was earnest, he was smart, he was career-focused, and there was nothing I could recognize in him that I would call a sense of humor. And when we were together, we might as well have been speaking two different languages. I would say something that I thought was funny, and he would get offended. Sometimes he would say something that I thought he was trying to be funny, and I would laugh, except he would just stare at me. And my poor friend was just stuck in the middle trying to translate for us. I was actually concerned for her because she and I laughed quite a bit, and I thought she was signing herself up for a lifetime without humor. One night we all went to a stand-up comedy show, and I admit most stand-up comedy is not really my cup of tea, so I was only mildly entertained. But then I heard it. My friend's boyfriend was giggling. I honestly had barely seen him smile, let alone make any noises of appreciation out of his mouth. And so there he was. I saw him in a new light that night. And I think I understood him a little better now that I understood his sense of humor and I understood their relationship and what she saw in him. And I knew that my friend wouldn't live a life without laughter. So that was one of my first lessons in letting humor find its own way into our lives. And ultimately, that it really is good medicine. It can be like a vitamin boost for a friendship or a healing balm in grief. It can be a temporary band-aid in a hard moment and even an inoculation from other people's judging. But don't take my word for it. It's science. It would appear that the laws of nature have a sense of humor because modern science and traditional religion seem to agree in this case. Laughing is good for us. It is good for our souls. It is good for our bodies. It is part of what makes us human, and it even helps us to define what makes us happy. One prominent evolutionary psychologist shows that humans are born with the ability to smile. It is not something we learn, and we know this because even babies who are blind are able to smile. The psychologist argues that the muscular exertions involved in producing the rhythmic, vocalized, and involuntary actions that we know as laughter trigger an increase in endorphins, making us feel good. The larger field of science, both behavioral and biological science, has also agreed on these findings. Laughter is the physiological response to humor, one study says. Laughter consists of two parts, a set of gestures and a production of sound. When we laugh, the brain pressures us to conduct both of those activities at the same time. When we laugh heartily, changes occur in many parts of our bodies. We can feel that through our arms and our leg and our trunk muscles. When we laugh, one scientist explains 15 facial muscles contract, and stimulation of the zygomatic major muscle, the main lifting of your upper lip, occurs. Meanwhile, the respiratory system is upset by the epiglottis half-closing the larynx so that air intake occurs irregularly, making you gasp. See, science can be funny. In even extreme circumstances, the tear ducts are activated so that while the mouth is opening and closing and the struggle for oxygen continues, the face becomes moist and often red or purple. The noises that usually accompany this bizarre behavior range from sedate giggles to boisterous guffaws. Is anyone else picturing a clown right now? Happily, these biological processes have been conclusively found to produce beneficial effects. Several medical therapies have been developed in response to these findings, and by our modern standards, it's been around quite a while. Norman Cousins, journalist and author, wrote of his own experiences in his famous book, Anatomy of an Illness as Perceived by the Patient, Reflections on Healing and Regeneration. According to his account, in 1964, following a very stressful trip to Russia, he was diagnosed with a degenerative disease, which left him in almost constant pain. His doctor said that he probably would die within a few months. He disagreed. He applied reason. He said that if the stress of the trip, since he was not sick before going to Russia, the stress of the trip must have contributed to his illness, then positive emotions should help him feel better. With his doctor's consent, he checked himself out of the hospital and into a hotel across the street and began taking extremely high doses of vitamin C while exposing himself to a continuous stream of humorous films and similar laughing matter. He later claimed that 10 minutes of belly rippling laughter would give him 2 hours of pain-free sleep when not even morphine could help him. The scientific study of laughter began, and it actually has a name, gelotology. I know. But it's not like J-E-L-L-O, no, it's the Greek, G-E-L-O, like Greek for laughter. And actually what's funny is that the G in Greek is actually a Y, so it's actually yellowtology, really, so I think it's even funnier than gelotology. Thank you for appreciating my joke, Andre. At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, as part of their holistic mind-body medicine, they use laughter therapy. They explain in their materials that laughter is a natural medicine. It lifts our spirits and makes us feel happy. Laughter therapy, also called humor therapy, is the use of humor to promote overall health and wellness. It aims to use the natural physiological process of laughter to help relieve physical or emotional stresses or discomfort. Other researchers done by psychiatrists in Spain have shown that laughter releases physical and emotional tension, elevates mood, enhances cognitive functioning, and increases friendliness. Another psychologist, this time from the University of Maryland, found that human beings are 30 times more likely to laugh when we are in the presence of others. At Georgia State University, a study found that incorporating simulated laughter into an exercise program helped improve older adults' mental health as well as their aerobic endurance. Apparently, this insight is regularly employed by trainers and exercise class instructors. I wouldn't personally know this, but people who go to the gym tell me that this is true. To bring more laughter into our lives, common suggestions include that we all could stand a smile a little more. We could practice gratitude, host a game night, tell jokes, laugh at other people's jokes, and try things like laughter meditation that Alex led us in earlier. So to get practicing right away, I invite you to find someone to tell a joke to and to laugh, even if it's not funny, at the joke they tell you. And if you say, I don't know any jokes, and let me remind you, this is polite company, so we're keeping it PG, okay? So there's always knock-knock jokes, so I'll give you one. If you don't have a joke, you can steal this one. Knock-knock. Interrupting cow. Moo. Okay. So you can use that one if you need it, if you want to be an 8-year-old again. Embrace it. So find a partner, tell a joke, and enjoy. And if you run out of jokes, turn to another neighbor and find a new one. They're not listening to you. Some good jokes out there. Thank you. We need laughter. We need humor and a cheerful heart in our lives. It's good for us. And it even helps us on our darkest days. I have seen humor in hard times over and over again. I worked with a woman who had cancer. And to face the seriousness of her prognosis, she decided to name it Shirley. I'm gonna zap that witch, she said. She didn't use a W. When her hair began to grow back after the chemo treatment, she told me that Shirley was a really terrible hairdresser and she was never going back. Shirley let her laugh a little at this terrible time in her life. And at the end of the treatment, she said that she and Shirley had a serious talk and decided to end their toxic friendship. And recently, she sent an update that Shirley had the good sense to stay away now for 8 years. I am certain that her humor made her a better patient, and I am certain that it helped her heal. I have also sat with hundreds of grieving people, and there is always laughter in the tears. Remembering a funny moment or smiling, remembering love and joy. I have been to many celebrations of life services, including in this room, where the only tears in the room are tears from laughter. We laugh in those moments because, yes, it's good medicine, but it's part of our lives, part of feeling good and remembering the good stuff. I saw a post last year on Facebook about caregivers using humor to get through tough times, and I clicked save on Facebook. And if you've ever done that, like me, you probably have hundreds of saves, so it took me about an hour to scroll through my saves. Facebook keeps telling me, would you like to organize your saves? Ignore. Well, now I know why. Should listen to Facebook. So I found, I think the wisdom is worth sharing with you. Again, it was about caregivers, but it's something that we can all carry into our daily lives as we seek to let go of burdens, to lighten up, to even thrive in the current state of the world. The first advice, fake it till you make it. Believe it or not, they say test studies show that even fake smiles help us feel better inside. It's not about putting on an act for yourself or for others. It's about tricking our bodies to feel a little happier until we actually do. It's also about finding balance by giving yourself permission to cry, to scream, and yes, to laugh, even in the hardest times. Second point, laugh at mishaps and don't take yourself too seriously. When grieving or struggling, when we're stressed, we know that little things can trigger big emotions. They use this example on this post. Did you lock yourself out of the house? Frustrating? Yes. Will you get back in your house? Yes. I don't know why Dawn is laughing so hard, but Dawn's student has a story about locking herself out of the house. And maybe that story includes climbing through your bathroom window. And what a great memory that is to share. She's turning red. So laugh at those mishaps, because they will happen and they become good stories. And the third point, bring the humor to you. They say misery loves company, but so does humor. Remember, 30 times more likely to laugh in the company of others. Humor is contagious. Try surrounding yourself with people who make you laugh. Watch a comedy movie. Search for funny videos online or read a funny book. When you surround yourself with laughter, even if you really don't feel like laughing, a tiny smidge of humor may just rub off on you. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Amen. I invite you now, with all of that joy, into a time of reflection, a time of prayer. A time to be in the silence, to share that joy, that laughter with each other, and create a community of caring. Today we give thanks for the humor within us, for the places it lives in our bodies, and for opportunities we have to let it out. We know that this humor can transform us, and we know we can share it with others. And we give thanks for those other people in our lives, for their humor, for their joy, even the times when they drive us crazy. We give thanks for them. And we send our love and our hope that they will feel joy and humor, that they will feel fulfilled. We know our lives are not always joyful. And so we send our love to the people in our lives, and the people in this church community who need a little extra support today. There are so many people we miss. And may we always remember their joy and their humor, knowing that our memories are stronger than death. We know that our love, our hope, our compassion, our joy can transform the world. And so let us imagine all of that filling ourselves, moving through us, making us smile, spilling out into this room, outside of the doors, around the community, across the oceans, as we together create a network of mutuality, a network of love that will transform this world. Each of us is part of an intricate web of relationships. When one of us celebrates a joy or grieves a loss, the web of life moves to a new shape. We are part of the turn of the earth, the shift of the stars, the pull of the sea, and all change. Amen.
When we first walked into this church a little over 2 years ago, Marianne and I were not looking for anything for ourselves. Okay. Marianne was raised a Catholic and is happy with her relationship with Catholicism. Okay? I was not raised in any church. When I was 10 years old, the youngest of three, my parents started to take us kids to church to get some religion. They were from the Midwest. Okay. But it was a little too late. The dogma and restrictions were a bit much, and I subsequently avoided involvement with any organized religion and have been happy with that. But now I'm glad to have found an environment that I find more open and inclusive.
So what brought us here just over 2 years ago? It was our son, Davis. We wanted something for him. Meaning, connection. I'm not sure we could put a word on it then. We found ourselves in a situation I think many families find themselves in. Days rushing by, filled with activities, and not really having a lot of time to figure out the meaning behind what we were doing. We consider ourselves conscientious parents, and we'd often wonder, were we doing enough? Were we doing our best to teach our son about compassion and caring in ways that were understandable and meaningful to a teenager?
One thing I noticed at my first UU service was that people were dressed pretty casual. Aren't you supposed to dress up for church? Wear your Sunday best? Be on your best behavior for 2 hours every Sunday morning? But then I found that people here try to be their best all week long, not just on Sunday. Okay. People here care, and it shows. We have been fortunate to participate in many of these activities. Raising food with Farm Davis, where we help plant food, in our case, green onions, that will be given to people in need, including Davis Community Meals. Making campus meals for UCD students. Making beautiful, wonderful quilts for Progress Ranch. Okay. Helping feed the homeless at the rotating shelter, contributing gift cards for fire survivors, and tending our church's beautiful surroundings as guardians of the grounds. We believe, more than with words, these actions are powerful examples for our son about caring for one's neighbor.
We came to UUCD 2 years ago to find something for our son. We ended up finding a caring community for our entire family. We invite you to share your experiences of caring. In the social hall, there is a bulletin that awaits your stories. Pen and paper are provided. Please jot down your experiences of caring, whether it be receiving caring or offering caring to others. Each week, we'll be adding one more part of the message. Together, we care, explore, worship, act, give. Please share with us this week how together we care. Thanks.
Thank you.
As we come to the end of our service, we extinguish the pillar candles that have held our sorrows and our joys, knowing they have been felt and cared for here. And we extinguish the flame of our chalice. Knowing that the community, the love, the joy, the humor it holds is always with us and is rekindled every time we're together. Please join hands for our benediction. These words from 19th century author Grenville Kleiser.
Good humor is a tonic for mind and body.
It is the best antidote for anxiety and depression.
It is a business asset. It attracts and keeps friends. It lightens human burdens.
It is the direct route to serenity and contentment. Let this congregation say ha, 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 and amen.
Ha, 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 amen.